Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson is appropriate as we think about the years passing from one year to another. And our lesson is entitled Anno Domini. Now those words are Latin, which simply means the year of our Lord. That's the abbreviation is A.D., the year 2019 A.D. That A.D. indicates that approximately 2,000 years ago since the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, while much of the world ignores him and is ignorant of him, and that's pathetic, yet the entire world dates the events of history according to his birth. I want us to consider the phrase, the year of our Lord. Let us think of this year and every other year, whatever year that might be, as a year that truly belongs to the Lord, rather than to ourselves. It's the Lord's year. It's just 12 short months we pass through a year. We swiftly run through the calendar. What shall we be able to say of this year? Once it's passed, will it have been a year of the Lord? Now, as with other matters regarding our relationship with God, this is a very personal matter, I understand that, and each must make the decision for himself. This is a decision that must be made early in the year, lest part of the year be gone before we start our direction. Well, a great portion of this year is already gone, of course. But may we outline a course of action that each one can take that will help to make this indeed a year of the Lord. We turn back to the Old Testament. Let us set the scene before us of an event of the great long ago. Samaria, it was under siege by Syria. The Syrians had a stranglehold on the city, nothing permitted to come out or go in. The people were on the verge of starvation, and what food was left was of tremendous price. In 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, we read, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they kill us, we shall but die.'" Now you see, siege or no siege, these four leprous men had a difficult life because they suffered from leprosy. And they had a choice from three alternatives. We could go into the city of Samaria and die of starvation with all the others. They could stay where they were and they would die there. Or they could surrender to the Syrians with the hope that the Syrians might provide for them. The Syrians could do no worse than to kill them. And they were going to die with either of the other two alternatives, so their only hope for life was that third alternative, and this is what they chose. Now the scriptures say, "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the othermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." Now, to the surprise of the lepers, they found a well-furnished camp, but it was vacated. the Lord had caused the Syrians to flee, thinking they were going to be attacked by a superior force, and they had left all of their provisions behind. Now, seeing the tremendous abundance, the lepers began indulging themselves to the fullest, plundering tent after tent, hoarding up everything that they wanted. Oh, they gloried in their good fortune, and were for a time oblivious and unconcerned about the plight of the masses of people in Samaria that were still very much in need. And even though the city was no longer in danger, the people in the city were not aware of it. There was a great supply available to them, but they did not know that as yet. Now verse 9 tells us about the change of heart and of action by the lepers. One of them said, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." Now you see, the enemy was gone, and food was in abundance. They knew they needed to tell others about the salvation that was before them, that all they had to do was to come and take it. They returned to the city, and they told of their findings. At first there was some skepticism among them, and soon the report was confirmed, and the people rushed out to the camp and were spared the disaster that they had anticipated. Now the good ending of this account is attributed to the fact that the lepers came to realize something that we, friend, must also realize. Good news deserves to be told. Those who hold it are obligated to tell it, not to just keep it from themselves, for themselves, and for no others, especially when others are so dependent upon the good news that they know. Now, since Jesus was born in Bethlehem and he lived in Palestine, he died, he was buried, he was raised from the dead to offer forgiveness of sins and eternal life to those who would come to him. This good news deserves to fall upon the heart and the ears of everybody. Since there is a source of joy and peace and hope and life for mankind, all people need to know about the Christ. And who will tell it? Who can tell it except those who know it? And just as the lepers were the only ones who could tell their good news, Christians are the only ones that can tell the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's power unto salvation. Now, we dare not do as the lepers did at first, and simply indulge ourselves in the blessings of God, unconcerned about other people. The world is sin-cursed and spiritually starving. The faith of Christ is God's great blessing to all nations, and the very nature of its demands that it be spread abroad. Now we ask, could it be that we're not sufficiently impressed as to the worth of our spiritual blessings, to the degree that we would want others to know about them also? Let me ask you this. Would you inform others if you had the cure for cancer? Why, certainly you would. Would you keep silent if you had the solution to all of the international tensions and the problems in the world today? Why, sure, you would tell it. Would you share with others the way to prevent future wars? Sure you would. Now, it may sound strange at first, but you know, some Christians act like if they had nothing worthwhile to tell other people. Now, they do not act as if starving people need to know what they know. They do not rejoice as we might expect of a dying man who's been given life. If we're not interested and impressed in the welfare of others and thankful for our redemption, how can we expect other people to desire it also? Now, one historian has predicted this century will be the century when America ceases to be Christian. In fact, become anti-Christian. And we certainly see that persecution of Christians and the denial of Christians and the ridicule of Christians is very apparent in our nation right now. And there's only one way to prevent it. This is a day of sin, a day of rebellion, a day of disbelief. The scoffer is having his way. It's a day of spiritual starvation, and people are besieged by Satan and the forces of evil on every hand, and often through choice. But it's also a day of great discovery. It's a day of good news. It's a day that can be a day of deliverance and spiritual abundance. Christ has come. Christ has done his work in providing for mankind salvation. And that's because God cares for us. That's because God loves all mankind. He wants us for his spiritual children. He's provided the way for us to come to him, and that's through Christ. We know that way is revealed in Scripture. We have come that way ourselves if we be Christians. How can we keep silent and just keep it to ourselves and not be concerned for others and of also of future generations? Now, there's no surer sign of a converted person than his passion for the lost. You can't really be a faithful Christian and not care about the souls round about you. But how else do we show our care except by telling them of the glad account of redemption? There is not one for whom the Lord does not have an interest. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That was a part of his final instruction to his people. Millions know not the love of God for them and their way of security. Oh, it's true. Some will hear it. They'll cast it aside once they hear it. They don't care. Others will even scoff. Some will even ridicule. Some will contend that such a message is just too good to be true. They'll just cast it away. But we know the favor of God cannot be retracted. And we know the preaching of salvation is needful. And we certainly ought not be stopped from doing it because some might reject it. You know, fishermen do not pull in all of their lines because they don't catch every fish. We are fishers of men, of their souls. We can't afford to abandon the cause of saving souls. We can make any forthcoming year a year of the Lord if we will devote our time and effort to the saving of some lost soul. If each Christian would resolve to tell the story of Jesus and his love to his family, his friends, his neighbors, his fellow workers, his acquaintances, some will hear, some will heed. Maybe not all that we would suppose, but some would. And in a proper manner and a proper message, we can come to the end of the year and look back upon it with great satisfaction and indeed know we've made it a year of the Lord. You talk about the weather, the crops of corn and wheat. You speak of friends and neighbors that pass along the street. You call yourself a Christian and like the gospel plan. Then why not speak for Jesus and speak out like a man? Are you ashamed of Jesus and the story of his cross, that you lower his pure banner and let it suffer loss? Have you forgot his suffering? Did he die for you in vain? If not, then live and speak for Jesus and speak out like a man. Friend, for the remaining portion of the year, will you not make an effort to make it indeed a year of the Lord and reach out for the salvation of those round about you? Glorify God in the salvation of souls. This has been A Burning Fire. Until next time.